529. Hymnal page 529. If you want to stand, we will open up Wednesday night service. Forever with the Lord.
Good evening, church. All those that are joining us on social media tonight, we welcome you into Wednesday night service. We're going to be, our key text tonight is going to come from 1 Peter 3, verses 15 and 16, but honestly, we're going to have numerous scripture references to this topic tonight. But the main idea, the main concept and message comes from those two verses. And we're going to go into a study of apologetics tonight. And that's a really big word. And when you hear that word, what do you think of when you hear apologetics? What do you think of when you hear that word? I'm sorry?
Apologize.
To apologize. Well, that would be the first thought. But apologetics actually means quite the opposite of an apology. It actually means a defense of the faith, and a bold defense of the faith, and not to be timid or to be apologetic for it, but to give a bold defense of the faith. And the way that the Lord led to study and prepare this message was quite a simple one. When you were perhaps in elementary school or in grade school, they taught you six basic questions to ask. The who, the what, the when, the where, the how, and the why. And so that's what we're going to go into tonight in our study of apologetics. So turn, if you will, over to the third chapter of 1 Peter. And we're going to read verses 15 and 16. And this is Peter writing here. And he says, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. Those are pretty strong words from Peter there. And like I said, we're going to go into several scripture references tonight. But the apologetics, to define it, is the religious discipline of defending religious doctrines through systematic argumentation and discourse. Okay, what does that mean in everyday language? Now that's the definition, Webster's definition of it. Apologetics is simply defined as the defense of the Christian faith. And we're seeing less and less of that in our society today. People are shying away from the defense of the Christian faith. They're shying away from telling other people about what it is that they believe. They're shying away from telling people about the hope that they have in Christ Jesus. And we see more and more of that today. And Peter here writes, not to be ashamed. And another scripture reference in scripture says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And apologetics is a bold defense in that we're not ashamed to defend what it is that we know and what it is that we believe in. So the word apologetics derives from the Greek word apologia. And it was originally used for a speech of defense or an answer given in reply. Now in ancient Athens and ancient Greece, it referred to a defense made in the courtroom as part of a normal judicial procedure. So it has legal connotations from the original Greek. And after an accusation, the defendant was allowed to refute the charges with a defense or reply, which was the apologia. The accused would attempt to speak away. The Greek word apo, A-P-O, is away. Logia is means speech. So the accused would attempt to speak away their accusation of what they were accused of. And so it is a defense. A defense of what we believe as Christians. And why should we defend the faith? Well, it's a hope in what we believe in. It's a hope in our faith. It's our hope and our strength in what we believe in. And so we read the scripture. Now, Peter knew how important it was to defend the faith. Because remember, this is the Peter that we're talking about that denied Christ three times. When it came time when he said to Christ, this will not happen on my watch. This is not going to happen if I can have anything to say about it. What did Christ say to him? Christ said, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. And he was right. The prophecy came true. Peter did deny. When Peter had the chance to defend the faith, he shied away from it. And he shied away from it in such a fact that in the third time that he denied, the Bible says that he uttered a curse. That he denied it so strongly that he denied that he was a follower of God. So Peter knew a little bit about denying and shying away from the defense of the faith. So he knew what he was talking about when he wrote about apologetics here. And I believe that Peter was constantly reminded in his writings and in his scripture of how he denied Christ, and he never did it again. He defended Christ. He defended the faith from that point on, because he was always reminded of that point of where he denied Jesus three times. So he says to give a defense to everyone who asks you. And he had to do this in situations that are described in Acts. Four different times in Acts he had to defend the faith. And in Acts 2:14 through 29, Peter addresses a crowd at Pentecost. They supposed that the actions of the believers, the way that they were acting, they accused them of being drunk on wine. But Peter told them, no, it's only 9 in the morning. We are influenced by the Holy Ghost. We're not influenced by wine as you suppose. So he had to defend what they were doing. He had to defend the gospel. He had to defend his faith. And he was exercising apologetics there. He was doing a defense of his faith. And so over in Acts 3:11 through 26, Peter has to defend a miracle that had been performed on a lame man who's now able to walk. He asked the crowd why they were surprised. But he made it clear that it was not anything done through his or John was with him, through his or John's power, but he had to defend God. He had to defend the faith. And he says he defended the power of God in which he believed. They had accusers there that said, Peter and John, through what power do you heal? And he told them, this is not through any power of our own, but it's through the power of God. So he had to defend that and go into apologetics in the defense of what he believed, in defense of his faith. And so in Acts 4:8-12, Peter has to defend again a miracle of a healed man. He declares that it was done through the power of the cornerstone which man had rejected. And he defends again the power, and this time the salvation of Jesus Christ. And so Peter goes again in Acts 5, and he has to defend his personal account of Jesus' miracle and the obedience to God, which he felt was his duty. This time he defends his service to God rather than to men. So apologetics takes on many different forms here. And so the best way to explain to the believer what apologetics is and how we apply it to our lives is to use the tried and true method, and we're going to ask the questions. So now that we've defined the what is apologetics, let's go to the why. Why is it necessary that we use apologetics? Why is it necessary that we defend the faith? Well, before we go to the why, let's go to who. Let's go to who is it? Who is it for? Who is apologetics for? Who should use this, and who is it meant for? Go back to the original verse, 1 Peter 3:15. Go back to the original verse. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. Sanctification of the Lord in their hearts can only be done by those who believe in Him. If you don't have faith in God, then there's nothing to defend. If you don't believe in God, there's nothing to defend. However, if you have been saved and you have the hope that is in Christ, there is much to defend. The gospel, the hope that is in you. So, in other words, give allegiance and service to the Lord, meaning we have accepted Him as our Lord and Savior and the only one who is able to save us. Let's give another scripture reference here, Acts 4:12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. That's the who of our defense. Who are we defending? We're defending our faith in Christ. And who should be doing the defending? It's those who believe in Him, those who have the hope and the faith in Him. That's who should be doing the defending. Another scripture in John 14:6 says, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. To whom? Peter writes here, everyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in you. Have you ever been asked why you believe what you believe? Have you ever been asked why do you devote your time to go to church? Why do you devote your time to believe in God? Why are you a believer? Have you ever had that question? If you haven't, you will. And you need to be prepared to give a defense of that and what you believe in. And how exactly do we do that? Well, now that we've discussed the what of apologetics and the who of apologetics, we get into the how of apologetics. How do we do that? And that can be a tough question. How do I share my faith with other people? How do I defend my faith with other people? How do I talk to people? How do I defend what I believe in to people who either won't listen or won't believe? How do I do that? That's a question that's been asked since the beginning of time, and it's one that continues to be asked today. How do I defend my faith? Yes, I believe in God. I have a strong defense in God. I have a strong faith in God. But how do I share it with other people? Do your best, 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. That's our Awana verse. That's what Awana is found upon. Approved workers are not ashamed, 2 Timothy 2:15. The program that we use for record keeping in Awana is called 2Tim2 because it's focused around that verse. Do not, let me read it again. Do your best. Do your best. See, that's important. Do your best. See, God doesn't expect you to be perfect in the way that you share your faith with other people. He doesn't expect you to be perfect, but He does expect your best. And the Bible says, do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved, as a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. If you're studying your Bible and you have an active prayer life and you're studying to show yourselves approved, God will present the opportunities and He will give you the words to say when it comes time to defend your faith. Where should we be doing this? Where should we as Christians be proclaiming and defending the gospel of Jesus Christ? Everywhere. Everywhere we get the opportunity, right? It seems like an easy question with an obvious answer. So the other question to that is, why are we doing it? Why aren't we defending our faith? Why are we not bold in defending our faith? Some of you may be. But for the most part, believers struggle with this. They struggle with who I should share it with. How should I share it? Where should I share it? With whom should I share it? The answer to the question involves an answer to the following. Who is exactly in need of a Savior? Everyone. Everyone is in need of a Savior. So the answer to the question of where should we be sharing the gospel, where should we be defending our faith, everywhere we get a chance. Just as Peter wrote here, let's go back to 15. Always be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. Romans 3:23. Another oft-quoted verse in our Awana. Romans 3:23. What does Romans 3:23 say? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Who does all encompass? Everyone. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then we go to Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life eternal. When you read that scripture, does that set apart a certain group of people? Is it set apart, or is that the wages of sin, death for all? Go back to Genesis. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden and the curse was given, who was the curse for? All mankind. All. So if the curse of sin is for all mankind, then who was the Savior sent to this world for? All. All. So when we ask the question, where should we be sharing apologetics? Where should we be defending the faith? To all. Everywhere. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. That encompassed everybody. Three separate times in Romans, the Bible mentions the Jew first and then the Greek. In other words, everybody. It didn't leave anybody out. All have sinned and come short, and Christ died for all. John 3:16. So if that's the case, if that's what we believe, and it should be what we believe because that's scriptural, that should be what we believe, that Christ died for all, then where should we be sharing the gospel and defending the faith? Everywhere, to all people. Second Timothy 1:7. Again, this goes into the how, a little bit of the how. Now, if we know the what, and we know the when, and we know the where, and we kind of know a little bit about how, let's get into a little bit more of the how to share the apologetic. 2 Timothy 1:7, For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Go back to verse 16. Keep a good conscience. So go back to verse 15, the end of verse 15. Make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile you, your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. With power. God gives us the boldness to share and defend, along with the words to say. Now, it's believed by some theologians that Peter, although he had a boldness about him and he tended to stick his foot in his mouth a lot when he spoke, that there was also a timidness about him. He was sometimes very bold to speak, but sometimes he shied away from it. We see that in the denial of Jesus. We see that timidness come out in him. And so God doesn't give us that spirit of weakness. God doesn't give us that spirit of timidness. He doesn't give us that spirit of fear. He gives us a spirit of boldness to speak. But how do we speak? We speak with power. How do we defend the faith? If you can't defend the faith with power, if you can't defend the faith with boldness, then you might want to check on your faith. You might want to do a self-examination. Because the defense of the gospel, the defense of what we believe, the defense of Jesus Christ, the defense of salvation, the defense of all of those things is defending the power of God. Through the power that's given us through God. And then we do it in a spirit of love. Philippians 2, 1 through 2 sums up this best. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. And 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. And it sums up love in that chapter. But the first two verses say this: if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. And the final verse of that passage says, and now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. If we're defending the faith and we're defending the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, then God is love. And without love, God cannot be present. God is love. We love Him because He first loved us. You go over into 1 John, you can read more about the Bible and what God says about love. It is the Spirit that we should come in. So you can't, when you're defending the gospel, it will be very easy to get frustrated and aggravated and maybe even angry in your defense to people that question everything that you believe in. And if we're ever going to convince anyone to come to the cross to believe in Christ, hammering them over the head with the gospel is not going to do it. A spirit of love is what is needed. So, we have the what, the when, the how, the why, or the how, the who. What about the why? And this is going to be a quick message tonight, because this is going to get to our conclusion. Why do we defend our faith? Why? Why is it important to use apologetics? Why is it important to defend our faith? We've already quoted Romans 3:23. Why? Because all are in need of it. All have sinned and come short. And because we are all in a sinful nature, we are all in need of a Savior. And therefore, all are in need of being introduced to Him. It's the Great Commission. Let's go over to Matthew 28:19-20. We are commanded to defend and share His Word and give a firm, solid defense thereof. Turn, if you will, over to Matthew 28 really quickly. Matthew 28:19-20. Actually, let's go back to 18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, talking to the 11 disciples here, because Judas is not with them. But he is speaking here to the 11 disciples. And Judas came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And here's the Great Commission. 19:20. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth." That's our charge. That's our charge from Jesus Christ. The words of Jesus Himself. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples." How do we do that? How do we make disciples? We go and tell people about Jesus. We go and defend the faith. We go and use apologetics. Not an apology for what we believe in, but a defense thereof. A bold, powerful defense thereof. Another scripture references 2 Timothy 4:2. It says, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching." Don't skip over that word, with complete patience and teaching. If you're going to defend your faith, if you're going to share the gospel and defend your faith, it's going to take some patience with people. It's going to take some patience with people who absolutely disagree with everything that you believe and say. It's becoming more and more prevalent in our society today. So there's more of a call for the Great Commission to be enacted. There's more of a call, there's more of a charge for us to defend our faith and what we believe in. Complete patience and teaching. And by the way, preach here simply means to proclaim the gospel. So this brings us to our conclusion tonight. We now know the questions concerning apologetics. What apologetics is? Who's supposed to be doing apologetics, and who is it for? How do we do it? When should we exercise it? And why should we be focused upon it? Once again, let's go to our key verses here. 1 Peter 3:15 through 16. An answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with great gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. And finally, to remember the Great Commission of 28:19 through 20, Matthew 28:19 through 20. So the question tonight to you, are you defending your faith? Do you know how to do it? Do you know why to do it? Do you know what it is to defend your faith? Do you know when? Do you know where? I hope through this message tonight, that you've learned a little bit about that. That you've learned a bit about apologetics. That you've learned a bit about how to defend your faith to others. Because there's going to come a time when you need to defend your faith. And you're called to defend your faith. And you're called to defend the hope that is in you. I hope this lesson, this message tonight has spoke to you. I hope that you have learned something from it about apologetics. And I hope that you continue to equip yourself to defend that what you believe. Thank you for being attentive tonight. Brother Otis. Yes. One of the scriptures that was mentioned tonight was mentioned the word exhort. And that's what that means. Lift each other up.